Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, if you're new to the scriptures, it's in what's called the New Testament, and it's at the end, towards the end of the New Testament. There's a copy of the scriptures in a chair near you if you need one. We love for everyone to have a copy of the scriptures as we take time to look into His Word. And we're thankful for just what God has done in our lives through this letter. And we come to almost the end of it, and we find this encouragement about the difficulties of life. And in chapter 5, we'll read just a couple verses as we continue. We'll start in verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. And I am walking through this particular portion slower than some of the others, and I'm doing that on purpose because I do understand the fact that all Christians have anxieties and care. And sometimes when people come to Christ, they have this misconception that life is going to be great and there's not going to be any more problems, and yet we understand that is not the case. Peter has told us to not think that it is strange when things happen in our lives that are difficult. He told us, don't think that this is a strange happening when the fiery ordeals come into your life. It's actually part of God's plan for us to grow in Christ-likeness. And He accomplishes so many more things than we truly even understand from our limited perspective. And we have just a wonderful example of our Savior Jesus Christ, who endured suffering, even as the song just sang, as He absorbed the wrath of God and the suffering that came along with that, all so that we could have salvation and hope today. So He sets an example for us on how to handle situations in life that are difficult. We'll kind of finish there this morning as we conclude our time together. But this verse says that we are to cast our anxiety upon the Lord. We defined anxiety last week as those things that try to divide us. The word actually means to separate, to pull apart, to distract. And so we have these circumstances in our lives, these feelings where we understand, and in some ways it's real, in some ways it's not, where we're being pulled apart or being pulled in many different directions. And so we're trying to help everyone understand how to deal with anxiety from a biblical perspective. But as I mentioned last week, if you do fall into the category of experiencing some of these things, I mentioned the opportunity that I had to sit under a medical doctor who was given a seminar on how to handle these things from a biblical perspective. And his recommendation was to, right from the beginning, make sure that there are no underlying medical conditions happening. So it's very important that you do consult medical doctors and take advantage of modern-day medicine along those lines, because there could be abnormal heart rhythms, there could be all kinds of autoimmune things happening. There's a number of side effects to medicine, as was mentioned earlier, so it's important that that is included in this whole process. But sometimes it does take a little while for that process to play out, the medical situation with different doctor's appointments and treatments and things like that. And so at the same time that you are experiencing something medical, anxiety from a spiritual perspective can creep in, and you can now struggle with a whole new level with the physical things that are happening. You can struggle on a whole new level because it does become a situation that you have to trust God with, and the evil one would love for us to get anxious and worried about now something that's happened in our life. So that's one way that it can start from a medical perspective, but then actually we have to learn how to deal with it even from a spiritual perspective as well. And so it's something that many people face today, and I think it's important and appropriate to take the time necessary to deal with it. Some secular voices would say, and I'm trying to give you a perspective from some different voices, but secular voices would say that we are under an anxiety epidemic. And if you look at some of the stats, it puts it as the number one disorder in the United States. In fact, almost 17 countries around the world would list anxiety as one of the top problems that people are struggling with. And so we put it under the category of things that are such as common to man, that we understand it from a secular perspective, that everyone goes through this, but just because you're a believer, it does not negate the fact that you could potentially struggle with anxiety. And so Peter says to cast our anxieties upon the Lord. So let me ask you, in the last 7 days, did you become a better caster? We heard last week, that's how you handle it. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. God's hand is mighty. He's sovereign over every aspect of our lives, and he's able. He is all-powerful. He can help you in your need, in the moment, when you experience difficulties and trials. So our response is to go low, humble ourselves under his mighty hand, and cast our cares upon him. So did you grow in the practice of casting this last week? It is so important that we get this practice down. If we want to be strong believers that are growing in Christ's likeness, and we are in a place where we can serve the Lord with our whole heart and our whole mind, we must become good at this practice. And I say practice intentionally because it's something that you have to do all the time. It isn't something where you just cast your cares and your problems on God one time and then they're just magically gone. No, it's something that we constantly have to live in a state of dependence, trusting the Lord. So we must become good casters. I want to just mention at the beginning here just three things that sometimes can play into the way we struggle with anxiety. Because I realize in an audience like this, some can relate to what we've been talking about, and then others, they don't relate as much, but there are times in life when anxiety would come up. So there's a whole spectrum, and I realize that. And so for those who would really struggle along these lines, I want you to be able to walk through this series and maybe understand a little bit more of what's going on in your life and how it is specifically affecting you. And so I want to just start with another doctor, Dr. Foxman, who kind of gave three ingredients in anxiety. Now, these are not deterministic. We do not believe that. But they do play into how someone relates to this topic. So I would say, first of all, sometimes biological sensitivity is a factor along these lines. And again, this comes from a secular perspective, but I think it can be helpful. Again, not deterministic, but it does play into the way that people struggle along these lines. So sometimes people are particularly aware of things because of their senses. They have acute hearing or their sensory type issues, or there's just a sensitive reaction to situations that are happening around them. And so it's one of those things that if you have those types of sensory issues, you perhaps are more prone to struggling with this as opposed to someone who would not fall into that category. So I'm just trying to help you understand the way that you can process this. I believe that when someone experiences trauma, it really can change a person. And I would put trauma victims in these kinds of in this type of a category. I've worked with many trauma situations in counseling. We were a part of the foster care system for a long time, and pretty much every child who is part of that process has experienced trauma on some level. And when you experience trauma, it really can heighten your sensory issues. So smells can kind of bring back a memory or remind them of a situation. There can be a sound that can bring back a memory. Those who have experienced PTSD have done some counseling along those lines with folks who have been to war. There's all kinds of other areas. They could see something that can trigger in a memory or a situation. Sometimes it involves eating issues. We have someone very close to us who experienced a great amount of trauma when this person was little. And so this person looks at food differently than I do. He just does. And I have watched many times when he sees something on a table or in a situation where there's food, it's just radically different. His sensory issues are far different than mine, because he experienced starvation at one point in his life. And so it forever changed the way that he thinks about something that is common and normal. So again, trauma can bring about biological sensitivities to things. And again, I'm not saying that that determines everything, but it does play into how people relate to different situations in life. And I think as a Christian, we should be sympathetic or empathetic, I think is probably the better word, with people who have gone through trauma or people who have sensory type issues. Another category that he says would be personality traits. And so there's those folks who would be more perfectionistic. I believe everyone's a perfectionist in some areas, but some people are like in many areas of their life, and so that kind of plays into it. And so anxiety can come in when things aren't perfect or things don't go as exactly how they were planned. Sometimes just personality, people are full of energy and they have a hard time relaxing, and so if something comes up that forces them to do that, that God allows a circumstance in their life where they have to kind of stop, it can go against their personality. Sometimes people they just are real man pleasers, and that's kind of how their personality developed from a young person, and so they just want to please everyone, and so there's a constant worry about having to measure up and please others. Sometimes people just do not like conflict, and they'll avoid it in any way, and so if there's any kind of conflict, and conflict is everywhere, and so it's this reaction to it, and I could go on and on. But sometimes just real obsessive thinking comes in along these lines, and a lot of fear of man issues start to develop. And then thirdly, I would say just stress overload. Stress creates and can foster anxiety, poor nutrition, lack of sleep. These kinds of things kind of play into this situation where there's so much going on in life that you can then be vulnerable to experience high amount of anxiety because of the stress or the pressure that comes into a life. So these would be from a secular perspective, and I understand that, but I do think they do play into folks, even Christians, who suffer and really struggle with anxiety. Now let's come from a biblical perspective. If you take the scripture and this word anxiety, and if you were to categorize it, and Dr. Mark Minnick has done this, and it's been very helpful for me to understand, he kind of helped us understand it from three different categories of life from a biblical perspective. And I'll just kind of start with this first one. The necessities of life. Sometimes we can get anxious over just the very simple needs of everyday life. And Jesus spoke about this actually quite a bit. Let's read this text. Matthew 6:25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried or anxious about your life as to what you will eat and what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is the life not more than food and the body more than clothing? So Jesus here is speaking to a group of people understanding that the very needs of life can be an occasion for us to be anxious and worried. So just that simple category of the necessities of life sometimes can bring about anxiety. Hear a lot, even this week, as new numbers came out about inflation. You're hearing about it more and more. The price of gas and the price of goods is supposed to be the most expensive Thanksgiving ever. And so these kinds of things bring about the needs of everyday life. They can bring about situations where we can start to worry. We look at what's coming in and then what has to go out, and therefore we start to get concerned. Things like price of goods, a mortgage, job, healthcare needs. These are the everyday life situations. And we are not to give in to anxiety. Jesus specifically said, do not be worried about the necessities of life. Now that's very difficult, right? Because every day we're making choices, we're experiencing things, we have to pay our bills, we have to go to work. All of these things are something that we're facing on a constant basis, which is why I said a few minutes ago, we must learn to practice casting. Because every time you go to make an expenditure, perhaps it's an occasion for you to get concerned or worry. So you have to, multiple times a day, cast your care upon the Lord. The necessities of life, this would be one particular category. The second one would be the responsibilities of life. It's kind of everything that's included in the first category, but then it expands a little bit. And so 1 Corinthians talks about this, verse 32 through 34. It says, but I want you to be free from concern or worry. One who is unmarried is concerned or anxious, same idea, about the things of the Lord. However, how he may please the Lord, but one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. So this is another category that we see in the scripture where it's more than just the needs of life. It actually expands to the responsibilities and the relationships that we have in life. All right, so they build upon each other, and the anxiety can get greater and greater, because if you're not single, and Paul actually encourages singleness because you can be solely focused on the Lord. You don't have to have as many concerns and anxieties about other relationships because you can just focus on serving Jesus. But if God does bring that into your life and you then become a married person and then children perhaps come after that, it says here right in the text that a person's interests will be divided. And so there is an appropriate care and concern that is to be taken to those responsibilities, but at the same time, it can bring in more opportunities for anxiety and worry. And so there's this second category of more than just the needs of life. The second one would be the responsibilities of life. And then for the believer, there's another category that we see in Scripture. It's service within the body of Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, Paul, in 2 Corinthians, he lists a number of things that he has experienced and things that he has gone through, events in life. And then in this verse, he says, apart from such external things, there is a daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. And so you may not be in a pastoral situation where you're in charge of multiple churches like Paul was, or even in charge of one church. But the application can be made that within the life of a believer, there is now another level, another layer of responsibility, and that is responsibility to serve within the local church. So if you start getting involved in other people's lives, what do you quickly find out? There's struggles, there's hardships, there's needs. And so those things, on top of what you're already dealing with, right? Your needs, the everyday life sustaining things, and then on top of that, the responsibilities that grow. And then on top of that is service to the Lord in the local church and within the body of Christ. And all of these things are opportunities for us to either practice casting our cares upon the Lord, or we like to take on those cares and anxieties, and we worry about them, and we get concerned, and we fret. So some may say here, well, the answer is just eliminate most of those things from your life. You could just live a minimalistic life and just kind of, you know, not have many belongings, and you just kind of simplify everything and just don't get involved in people's lives. And I don't think that's the answer. Some would say today, I don't get involved in a local church. I don't need people. I don't think that's the answer here. I don't think that's what Peter's talking about. I think we are to obey the Scripture, all the Scripture, which we are, you know, required to work so that we can provide for the everyday needs. We are to take care of the responsibilities that God brings into our life in the form of relationships, and we are to serve the Lord. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. So we can't just say, well, very easy for me. I'm just going to cut out this third one. I'm just not going to serve. No, I'm not going to worry about the church and his people. No. The answer is to learn to practice casting our care upon the Lord. We must be better casters. A wrong response to this would not please the Lord. And ultimately, it's not going to help your anxiety, because it'll just come in a different form, in a different way. So what do people do at this point? Well, with all of this, they tend to look for comfort in a variety of different areas. And I would suggest sometimes they're okay areas, but they can become wrong areas if we're not casting our care upon the Lord. And so sometimes people will get so anxious they just want to sleep, and they think that's the answer. That's the comfort they're going to find. They're just going to sleep it away. So whenever they're not at work or functioning, doing something, they turn to that for comfort. Sleep is a good thing. It's a gift from God. The Scripture tells us. But that's not going to solve our problem with anxiety. Sometimes people go in down the road of fantasizing, they daydream, they like to zone out, and they kind of just like to go into that quiet place and put all of the thoughts and stuff away. And I'm not sure that that's the right response either. I love the way Terry took every thought captive to truth. So every time there was a thought bombarding her mind, she was counteracting with truth. It wasn't like, I'm just going to go into my Zen place and... No, that's not the place of comfort. Some people just refuse to go into social gatherings. They don't like to leave the house. Other people turn to media, all kinds of outlets along those lines, just to numb and find comfort. Sometimes people turn to some of God's gifts, people. And they can become dependent upon people. And again, God gave us relationships, but it must be God in the center of all that if we're going to find the help that we need. So let's just continue as we look at this passage of Scripture. It tells us we are to cast all our anxiety on Him. That word cast is it's a decisive action. It's an energetic action. I used a couple illustrations last week. I'm going to use this one. There was a day when people collected trash, and now you have these trucks that have the arms that come out, and you know they take care of all of it. But there was a day, and some places still do, where there would be a couple guys on the back of the trash truck, right? And they would grab your stuff, and they would hurl it into the truck. And so I was trying to think of another way to illustrate this. And sometimes they get all the trash into the truck. Sometimes it doesn't all get there. But the idea is that there is a load that they are trying to get rid of and put in the proper place. And I'm not comparing our wonderful, glorious Heavenly Father to a trash truck. That is not my intent. It's just the simple action. The decisive action is what I'm trying to, over and over, get us to become better at, where we will take the anxieties that come from either the necessities of life, from the responsibilities of life, or even service within the life of the local church, and take all of those things and cast them upon the Lord moment by moment, always looking to give them over to the Lord, which means we let go of our control, what we think we have control of, and we stop trying to figure out what we can do to solve the situation. Again, we live with and operate with wisdom. We try to obey the Lord and all the scripture. And so if there is an action that needs to take place, then that's fine. But in most cases, it's just a matter of us saying, God, I will submit to you. And so I'm taking this situation, this thought, and I am casting it over to you once again, even if it's the 50th time in one day. It's as well letting go of our own strength, our own wisdom, our own agenda, casting our care upon Him. That is the appropriate response to handling the anxieties of life. And as I mentioned last week, a wonderful little word in this passage is the word all. Cast all your anxiety upon Him. And so I want to end this morning with Jesus. He is our wonderful example. And I want us to look at a passage of Scripture, and we'll just try to understand the perspective from Jesus and His teaching, and then how He actually lived it out. So we looked at verse 25 a minute ago. Let's go back to that. It's fairly lengthy. Hang with me if you will. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is the life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Let me just stop right there. We're talking about the last 7 days. If you were here last week and you took an opportunity to look at God's word with us and you saw the proper biblical response to handle anxiety, giving ourselves a little evaluation this week. Did we become better casters? In the areas that we didn't, the first part of the screen there, and which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? Did it help you at all when you held on to those cares and anxieties? Did you gain anything by it? Jesus is asking questions, and he's asking questions that help people think. And the answers are clear. No, worrying does not help anything. It doesn't add anything more to our life. In fact, most studies show that people who are anxious and really go through seasons like this, it has an effect on their lives. So it doesn't help us to hang on to the things that we are not willing to cast over to the Lord. Let's go back to the text. Notice how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin the thread for clothing. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So he's speaking about the necessities of life. Worrying about inflation, worrying about your next paycheck, how you're going to pay the mortgage, that's not going to help you. And notice that it's in that specific context of worrying about it. What you should be doing is just focus on doing a good job, honoring God in your work, trying to honor him in your life. That's the focus. God, you promised to take care of me. Now, sometimes because of our choices, we need to make adjustments and we need to learn some lessons financially because of those choices. But we're just talking simple needs here. When we just worry about what's happening in our culture and the things that are going on around us, he says, look at my creation. I take care of them. How much more will I take care of you? Oh, ye of little faith, stop worrying. He goes on, do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat, or what are we to drink, or what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things. Now, this is interesting, because Jesus kind of speaks to what I've been saying. Such is common to man. Everyone faces the reality of being anxious. And he says those people, and the term Gentiles may throw you off there, but he's referring to those people who don't know him personally, who aren't followers of Christ, those people who are not Christians with a biblical-based view of life. He said that's what they do. That's what characterizes the rest of the population, people that don't know Jesus. You should be different. Because he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. There's a different relationship with our Creator now. He is now our heavenly Father. We are part of his family. And Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that is so true. And we all know it. But we so many times go back into that rut of hanging on. I'm going to take control. It's my agenda. I've got things to do. And Peter's saying, no, humble, go low. God has a mighty hand and he's working glorious things out in your life. And so cast your care upon him. Keep casting over and over and over. Jesus, I think, sets a great example of this for us in the garden. If you were in community groups this week, this probably came up in your discussion. And I want to just really help us understand that Jesus is our Savior and he is our sustainer. And everything that we experience in life, Jesus experienced, but he did not sin in the process. So it's interesting to me as I read this account in Matthew 26 and other places, Luke and Mark as well, where it talks about Jesus in the garden and he told his disciples to sit there and pray. And the verse says that he began to be grieved and distressed. Now remember, Jesus experienced life on this earth just like we do. Again, he did not sin in the process. But it says there, he began to be grieved and distressed. What was he grieved and distressed about? Well, what was about to happen was the soldiers were going to come while he was there in the garden and take him, and that would set the timetable until his death. And from that moment on, he would be exposed to all kinds of different authorities, all kinds of accusations, all kinds of beatings, and a variety of sufferings, all the way to the cross. But primarily, what Jesus here is probably thinking about is the cup that God was going to give to him. And the cup represents the Father's full wrath that would be put upon Jesus. So let's just kind of break this down very simply. We get anxious many times, most times, about things that we don't know what's going to happen. We spend so much of our time in the what-if category. So we experience a little hardship here, and then we end up allowing it to grow in our minds because we go down the road, well, what if this now happens, and what if this now happens? And we don't even know if it's a reality. For our Savior, Jesus, this was his reality. What he came to the earth to do, It was time. And it was not a pleasant experience. And so, being fully human, he was feeling the full weight of this experience. So something was happening to him in this moment. A circumstance was brought into his life. And his response to it, what was happening, he was began to be grieved and distressed. Again, sinless. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." So you can imagine what our Savior was feeling in the garden at this point, when in his own words, "To the point of death," he says, "Remain here, keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond, and he beyond them, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." I think this is a perfect picture of casting. I think this is a glorious example of how we can follow our Savior's example and what he did in his life in the most intense moment, where he prayed, and next week we're going to look at a text that involves how do we handle this. We're going to pray, but his prayer was, "God, would you take this away? But if not, I submit." Knowing the full weight of his Father's wrath was going to bear upon him for the sin of man. "God, would you take it away? But if not, I'll submit." And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot pass away unless I drink from it, your will be done." So a moment later, he goes back to his companions there, finds them sleeping, encourages them to rouse themselves and pray. And still feeling that same anguish and distress, he goes back to the place. Again, "God, would you please take this away? But if not, I will submit." Luke's account says this, "And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." Something was happening to Jesus physically. The pressure that was upon him, the distress and the anguish that his body was feeling in this moment of intensity, he was reacting to it. His own words, "I was grieved to the point of death, I was distressed," and his body was showing what was happening by something that probably we have never experienced before. And yet, at this point, he prays to his Father one last time and says, "Father, would you please take this away? But if not, I submit." I think it's a beautiful picture of casting. Jesus was sinless in this moment, but the circumstances were doing something to him. Some people may disagree with me on this. I don't know. But I know that we are told that there is no temptation that has taken us that our wonderful Savior does not understand. And so, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we must learn to cast. We must. It's the practice in our journey of faith. Because the necessities of life, they're going to be there all the way to the end. And those of you who are in the retirement stage or beyond, and you feel the tightness, and you understand medical expenses, and you get it. It hasn't left you. In your 20s you felt it, and in your 80s you feel it. The necessities of life, they're always going to be there. Those of you in that same category, you understand the responsibilities of life, because life was simple maybe when you didn't have children or you had one child, but now you have children and they're grown and you have grandchildren and then great-grandchildren. I think of my forefather, he's 91. He has 7 children, married. Then I think there's 26 grandkids and then 40-some great-grandkids. Talk about anxiety in his life. It's not going away from him. He sits in his recliner almost every day, and his mind thinks about all of his kids and his grandkids and his great-grandkids, and his heart gets heavy because he sees the effect of this broken world on their lives and the hardship that many of them experience and are still experiencing, and his heart is grieved over it. And you get it if you're in that season of life. The responsibilities, they're not going to end till you see Jesus. And those of you who are here and you're faithful to this church and you're faithful to God's people, not only the people here, but in other areas of service to Christ, to his greater body that you have, that is the path of a pilgrim that wants to follow Jesus. We are to serve him all the way to the end. So my point is, these cares are never going to go away. So we must get better at casting. That is the answer. Humble ourselves before a glorious, mighty God who is sovereign over everything in our lives and who is fully able. And as we go low, we get rid of it all the time, every time. Cast your care upon the Lord. He certainly cares for you. Would you bow your heads as we close? I would just ask you, as we do regularly, just respond to truth. Whatever the Spirit of God is trying to do in your heart, would you allow the Spirit to do it? Would you just once again say, God, I want to obey. So I'm going to cast once again, and I'm going to commit to you today that I'm going to keep casting. And I know you care for me. I know you do. And so I'm going to get better at casting. I'm going to follow your word and obey. Lord Jesus, thank you for setting an example how to honor your Father in the midst of difficulty and hardship, even when you were physically feeling the intensity of the moment. God, would you strengthen us by your Spirit this morning to keep developing this practice of casting. Help us to, day in, day out, give our cares and anxieties, give them over to you. God, thank you that you care for us. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.